catching you up on the latest stories from around the Sunshine State that you should know heading into this Friday morning, September 10th. I'm Giovanni Lambert, and this is The Point from WUFT News. Twenty years ago, the country was dealing with a catastrophic tragedy. The next weekend, universities had a decision to make.
I just don't think it's appropriate to play college football this Saturday. Period. And that's exactly what I said, and that's exactly what I feel.
That was Lee Corso, sports broadcaster for College Game Day. Not everyone felt the same. University of Florida athletic director at the time, Jeremy Foley, thought playing the game was the right thing to do.
I think we are confident there'll be some other schools playing. I don't know that for a fact. But it does not change the basic premise here that we feel it's going to be very, very helpful for our fans and to our institutions to be able to come together in a meaningful way to pay our respects to all those involved in this tragedy.
The Southeastern Conference decided not to hold football games that weekend. I spoke to the sports director for WRUF, Steve Russell, about what went into the decision. Could you talk to me about how you and the other directors felt back in 2001 when the university said that they would continue ahead with the game against Tennessee?
When that announcement was first made, I really couldn't believe it. I didn't think there should be a game played, based upon what happened to our country. I mean, you were still seeing images of, the Twin Towers and people and, in really bad ways. So I just didn't think that it was appropriate to play a game. But at first, the SEC decided they were going to do that.
Yeah, and I noticed you said as first. How did the decision change from playing to not playing? What were those conversations like?
Well, I think originally the thought from the SEC was, we should go ahead and play just because we want to make it like, nobody's going to knock us around. We're going to do the normal things that we do. But I think that the athletic directors and the people that ran the SEC after some time just realized that the look just wasn't good. It just didn't feel right to go into a stadium and, try to get a lot of people cheering and clapping for a football game after you've just been attacked. So I think that was the basic reason why they backtracked and said no. The look and the timing just wasn't right.
Or how long did it take to go from that first decision to the final decision?
If I can recall, I think it was about a day. I think maybe like on a Tuesday they had said, we're going to play, and I think it was just the very next day, maybe Thursday, but no more than that. Because obviously you have to make a decision before then, because if a team is traveling, you have to make arrangements to travel, all of that. So they had to make a decision one way or the other, but it was pretty quick.
Yeah, that makes sense. And how do you think the university would have been remembered if it continued ahead with the game?
I don't think it would have been so much the university as it would have been the Southeastern Conference, because this was a conference decision that was made. Certainly, there could have been Gator fans who felt that it wasn't the right thing to do, just as you could have LSU fans who thought that, or South Carolina fans who thought that. So it really was not a decision that an individual school made. It was a decision the SEC made. So I think if they had decided to play, I think there certainly would have been a lot of people who thought it was the wrong thing to do. I'm sure some would have thought that it was the right thing to do. But in the end, the league said no.
That was sports director for WRUF, Steve Russell, talking about the SEC's decision to cancel football games after 9/11. Now, let's catch you up on today's top stories. A federal judge has deemed Florida's anti-riot law unconstitutional. According to the Associated Press, the judge said it violated protesters' First Amendment rights to free speech and assembly. The law, also known as HB 1, stiffens penalties for crimes committed during a riot or violent protest. In Judge Mark Walker's decision, he noted that the definition of the word riot was vague in the statute. Governor Ron DeSantis says the state is going to appeal the decision. A majority of Duval County schools have zero students opted out of wearing a mask. According to News4Jax, the district allowed parents to submit a medical form opting their students out of wearing a mask starting August 6th. There are over 105,000 students in Duval County schools. Only 200 students are currently opted out of the mask policy. The policy is set to expire after 90 days on December 6th. The county can extend it if necessary. Florida police unions are refusing to instate vaccine mandates for officers. According to WFTS Tampa Bay, it's not necessarily because chiefs and sheriffs don't want mandates. Police unions encourage officers to get vaccinated but want to maintain the freedom of choice. COVID-19 is now considered the single highest cause of death among law enforcement officers, according to the National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund mid-year 2021 report. Tampa is now one of the many Florida cities requiring vaccines for city employees. This includes city police. It's not clear how many law enforcement officers in Florida remain unvaccinated. Most agencies don't track the number of vaccinated or unvaccinated employees. South Florida counties are preparing for the effects of king tides. According to CBS 4 Miami, every year these extremely high tides can cause flooding and lead to property damage. The phenomenon usually occurs between September and November. Fort Lauderdale just completed a section of seawall almost a mile long. The city also has 180 tidal valves to help drain seawater. Citrus County commissioners have shifted the stormwater revenue needs onto taxpayers. According to FloridaPolitics.com, commissioners voted 4-1 for a municipal services benefit unit that will raise almost $5 million for stormwater improvements. In return, the county eliminated a special stormwater mileage rate that raised about $1 million a year. Many homeowners who paid only $2 or $3 a year under the tax are now required to pay $58.84, which is based on the square footage of impervious surface such as rooftops, driveways, parking lots, and patios. Commissioners blamed federal mandates for the need to have a dedicated source of funding for stormwater projects. Latest Florida stories into your inbox daily at 8 a.m. Head over to WFT.org for more info. It's just a click away. I'm Giovanni Lambert, and you've been listening to The Point from WFT News out of the University of Florida. Have a great one.